This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. Today's message is titled, Five Critical Things You Need to Know. God does not want you to think that there's a possibility that you aren't saved. The devil's program is to keep you ignorant and unsure about your destiny. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
Okay, let's open your Bibles with me to 1 John. This is the epistle of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, not the Gospel of John. 1 John. There's a 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. It's in the, just go to the back of the Bible or just plug it into your smart device and it'll take you to chapter 5. I have been preaching now for the last, well, all year really, about discipleship, about what things you ought to know, what you should be teaching to others, how you should be discipling others. And I'm hoping, how many of y'all have been receiving these teachings? Let me see, did y'all? One, two, three, okay, thank you. It's important. I'm hoping you're taking great notes. I'm hoping you're understanding, comprehending, and sharing that you're going to talk. Today I want to talk about the fact that a lot of people have questions about their salvation. A lot of people are not sure of their salvation. A lot of people have doubts about whether they are truly saved. And I wanted to speak to that point and give you some passages to deal with that. And I want to spend just a few moments talking about that. So there are reasons why a person has doubts about salvation. Maybe I'll do that on another Sunday. But today I want to talk about five critical things that you need to know concerning your salvation. Five, that matter of fact, that's the title of this teaching. Five things. Five critical things that you need to know. And I think it's important, I think it's significant, because the devil works at keeping you questioning your salvation. That's his program, is to make you doubt and question where you're gonna spend eternity. He wants you to doubt it. And so I wanna speak to the people who have accepted the Lord Jesus, and you've been truly born again, not that you went through the motions, I'm talking to the people who play church. Somebody on your row plays church. Look and see if you can figure out who it is. Don't look at me, look up and down your row. Some of y'all still looking at me. I ain't playing church. This is real to me. This is my heart. This is my life. Amen. I want you to hear the heart of God. God wants you to know some things. So I want to give you five critical things. But I'm going to start with chapter 5. Did I tell y'all 1 John chapter 5? Did I say chapter 5? Verse 13. Here's what he says. This is what John writes to in 1 John. He says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Just stick a pen. Let's talk about this for just a minute. He says, I've written this epistle to you because I want those of you who have accepted the Lord Jesus and know him, believed on his name, I want you to know. I like that word know. It means assurance, confidence, absolute persuasion that you absolutely know. He said, I want you to know that you have eternal life. Get this. God wants you not to live your life in questions or doubts about whether or not you're going to go to heaven. Now, who wants you to question that? The devil wants you to question that. The devil wants you to have doubts about where you're going to spend eternity. The devil wants you to have second guesses. And if you ain't careful, that devil will have you flipped up, tripped up, jacked up, tore up from the floor up. He will have you doubting and questioning your eternal status. And my job and my assignment today, and this really came clear to me. I had to preach in Hawaii last week. Somebody got to take these tough assignments. And I was preaching that, I reluctantly accepted the assignment. And this was one of the conferences where they had multiple speakers speaking, and there was a speaker before me, a Catholic priest. And in his presentation, he said, in essence, that you might be saved. It was the grace of God that held me in my seat. Because that's what some denominations believe. Some organizations and denominations believe that you can't know whether you're saved or not. And that's, to me, that's tragic to have to live your life hoping that you're going to get saved, hoping that you're doing the right things to get saved, hoping that you have eternal life, only to find out after you die that you missed the mark. I'm not living my life like that. Especially when the scripture gives us clarity that you can know. Matter of fact, didn't I just read that to you? He said, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to guess, hope, assume, think that it might be, might not be. I might be saved, might not be saved, might make it, might not make it. The last thing I want to do is open up my eyes in hell and discover I didn't make it. I feel a cussing spirit rising up in me right now thinking about that. No, that's not how I want to live my life. And neither do you. You want to know that you know that you know that you know. Somebody say, I want to know that I know. I got to know. I'm not guessing. I need to know. I need to know for sure that where I'm living and how I'm living and what I believe in is absolutely confidently going to get me in heaven. And he says, I've written these things to you so that you might know. Amen, Pastor. All right, go ahead. Well, that's what I want to talk about. Five, not just that you know that you're saved, but this scripture here in 1 John, in this one book, or matter of fact, in one chapter. Let's go to chapter 3. Slide back to chapter 3. And allow me to give you five things that are critical for you to know. Turn to this person sitting next to you. If they sleep, wake them up real quick. Just wake them up. Because the last thing I want to do is to come down out of the pulpit and wake them up. How many of y'all know I will do it? Go ahead, lean over and tell your neighbor, if I fall asleep, wake me up before the pastor see me. I want to give you five things that the scripture wants us to know. Here's go to 1 John 3, just one page back problem, just back to chapter 3. Here's the first thing, it's verse 2. Here's the first thing I want to tell you that we need to know. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But here it is, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are the children of God. We are God's children, and it has not yet been revealed what we're going to be, but here's what we know. When he is revealed, stick a pin right there in that phrase. We know that when he is revealed, what does that mean? That means one day Jesus is going to be revealed to us. What does that mean? It means one day Jesus is coming back again. He's going to be manifested. He's coming back. That's something we got to know, that Jesus is coming back. Now, if you think for a moment that Jesus is coming back and he might show up right now, it might alter the way you behave sometimes. I want you to think about your behavior. The next time you're doing something you ain't got no business doing, ask yourself the question, what if Jesus comes back right now? Why are you drinking? Because y'all know we got drinkers in the First Baptist Church of Pinard. If y'all all say amen together, nobody will know I'm talking about you. Because y'all, you know, y'all, when we get to that part in our covenant that we will abstain, some of y'all put y'all heads down and cover your mouths. I know what you do. I see you. But what if Jesus comes and there you are swallowing in your mouth is... Why am I feeling so much tension in the room? Now, something's drawing me over here to this section right here. Matter of fact, he's telling me to walk up these stairs right here. I better stick to my course and my assignment. When he is revealed, he's coming back. We'll be like him. We'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We will be conformed to his image. But here's the main deal here is he's coming back. Jesus is coming back again. Tell your neighbor, he is coming back again. Tell him on the other side, he's coming back again. All right, slide. Look, that's verse two. All of these verses are in first, is chapter three, verse three. Let's go, slide down to verse five. Here's another no. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Oh, that's something to shout about right there. Somebody ought to shout right there that he has no sin. Jesus has no sin. He committed no sin. But here's what I'm shouting about. He took away our sins. Y'all missed a great spot to give God the praise and give him the glory. He took our sins far away. You know what the scripture says? He buried them. He took them away. One scripture says he took them into the sea of forgetfulness. He will remember our sins no more. I'm giving God the praise that people might remember what you did and what you said and how you acted and what your behavior was. But Jesus gathered our sins and took them away, never to be brought back again. I don't know where y'all are, but that makes me want to shout and give God the glory and give him the praise that he took away our sins. Do y'all understand the magnitude of that? That the Savior of the world, God wrapped up in human form, took our sins and carried them away? They're gone. That is if you've accepted Jesus. That is if you've been born again. That is if you believe that he died on the cross and was buried and rose again. He took your sins away. When the devil comes and tries to remind you of what you used to do, you can tell him what his future's going to be. He going to hell, but your sins have been taken away. Somebody help me give God a shout and a praise about that. I'm giving him the glory. I'm giving him a shout of praise. I'm giving him thanks that he took our sins away. Our sins have been taken away. People remember, but not Jesus. You know, one pastor says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Somebody should have been running around the building right here. All the places you went, all the people you went with, all the stuff you did, all the lies you told, all the behavior that you're not proud of, all the stuff that you embrace, all the stuff that you liked it. You liked it. That's why you did it. You enjoyed it. But you know what? I'm thanking God. Not only did God take my sins away, he took my desire to do them away. I don't want to do it anymore. Somebody give him a praise. I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to participate. He took my sins away. Here's number three. I'm almost finished. I'm going to be finished early. Here's number three. It's in verse 14. Slide down to verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brethren abides in death. I want to focus in on this first part of this verse. We know that we've passed from death to life. We know we have passed from eternal death. That word death means to be separated from God. It means to be distant from God, no relationship with God. He says we've passed from being in a dead condition to a life condition, eternal life. I'm giving God the praise. He gave me abundant life, eternal life, unspeakable life, a life that even hard, I can't even explain to people. When you had an encounter with Jesus, when you have a relationship with him, there's no way to describe the goodness of the Lord to you when you have a relationship with him. Somebody help me give God the praise for just a moment. I give him the glory. I give him the thanks. I give him the praise. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, when I think of the blessings he's provided, the miracles he's wrought, the hope that he gives to me, the victory in my life, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. And this is what your children need to know, and your grandchildren need to know, and your co-workers need to know, and your uncles and aunts and your jacked up relatives need to know that they can go from being in a separation from God status to a relationship with God. They can go from death to life. Anybody here glad to know that they got life? Anybody here doesn't mind joining me and giving God the praise that we can be assured that we have eternal life? We know. Somebody say, I know, I know. I know that I know that I know that I know that we have passed from death to life. How do you know, Pastor? Because I love the brethren. Here's how I know, because we love the brethren, because I love people. I love folk. I love niggers. Y'all understand what I'm saying when I say that? I love people who don't deserve to be loved. I love people who have treated me bad, talked about me bad, tried to hurt me bad. Only a God could change my heart to love people who I know don't like me. And some of you can look back over your life and see God gave you a love for somebody who you ought to hate. That's how I know I'm saved, is because he's done something in my heart to cause me to love folk that I know don't like me. High five your neighbor and say, I know he's talking about me. Are y'all here? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we love the brethren. God has given us the capacity and the ability to love folk who don't even deserve our love. I've had people try to ruin my name, lie on me, try to get me kicked out of the church, try to embarrass me. But guess what? If they walked in the doors right now, I'd show them the love of God. And guess what? It's not me. It's the Jesus that lives inside of me. Can I get an amen from some? Who knows what I'm talking about? Who knows that God has given you a heart of love? Now, if you're sitting here today and you got names of people that you hate, you can't stand, you need to come to the altar. We need to check and evaluate whether or not you have really had an encounter with Jesus, because he gives you the capacity and the ability to love. Lean over, tell your neighbor, Pastor Show preaching today. Tell him on the other side, he talking to me. What number was that? Number three? Here's number four. It's in verse 19. Slide down to verse 19. Look at all these no's, these K-N-O-W's in one chapter. Verse 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. I love this verse right here, verse 19. We know that we are of the truth. Now, why is that important? Because if you listen to the world would seek to communicate to you that Jesus is not the truth. As a matter of fact, some of you have probably heard people say that the Bible is a book written by white people to keep black people enslaved. If I'm a slave with this kind of joy I got, keep me enslaved. I'll stay a slave. Because this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world can't take it away. Yeah, somebody say amen. Somebody give God. If you understand what I'm saying, this is the truth. This gospel, this word is truth. How do you know it's truth? Because I tried it. I've taken these principles and applied them to my life, and I've seen God work miracles on my behalf. I've seen him answer my prayers. I've seen him and watched him give me victory. I've seen him fight my battles. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying to you today. I know it's true. I know it's truth. I know it's truth. It's alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's living. I take these principles and apply them to my life, and I see God fight my battles and answer my prayers and give me hope and give me deliverance and give me victories. And I've seen him work miracles in my life. This is the truth. And here's where I'm persuaded. I'm not confused about who Muhammad is, who Buddha is, who Confucius is, who Hare Krishna is. All of them have died and have been buried. But Jesus died and was buried. But early Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave with all power in his hands. He is the truth. Well, Pastor, you wasn't here when Jesus got crucified. You weren't here. So how you know he got up out of the grave? How you know that he did all of that? No, I was not here, but I tell you when I was here, when he got up in my heart. When he made himself alive in my heart. When he changed my life. Who here that had a changed life? You ain't the same you used to be. Who in here that has seen God shift your whole circumstance around? And the way you used to be, you ain't there no more. The way you used to walk, the way you used to talk, you ain't there no more. Somebody give God a shout. I'm not the same. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but the devil's trying to convince you that Jesus is not who he said he is. And my assignment is to preach the hell out of you and tell you that Jesus is who he said he is. He's alive. He's well. He's got all power in his hands. He will and can change your life. Somebody help me give God a praise right now. We are of the truth. That devil will try to make you think it's not the truth, but it is. Here's number five. I'm finished. Did I give y'all four already? What was number one? Jesus is coming back. Number two? He took our sins away. Number three, he's passed from death to life. And number four, it is of the truth. This is the truth. When you're witnessing and talking to people, you can show them. Verse 19 in 1 John 3, this is the truth. Finally, here's the fifth one. It's in verse 24. Chapter 3, verse 24 says, now he who keeps his commandments and abides in him, and he in him. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Here's the fifth and final thing you need to know. Jesus abides in you. Matter of fact, look at somebody near you. Point your finger in their face. Look at them eyeball to eyeball. Roll your head around on that extra little bone you got in your neck, ladies, and tell them he abides in us. Here's why I'm giving God a shout. Here's why I'm giving him the glory, is that he made the choice to live inside of me and live inside of you. He abides in us. And you know what's so powerful about that? I need to read that one more time to you, because it uses the word, a very critical and important word that I need you to understand and I need you to get. He says, and by this we know he abides in us. Now, why is that important? Abide means he stays, he lives. So he ain't in and out. He ain't here one day and gone the next. He stays. He stays on the inside. It doesn't matter where you have fallen, what you have failed, what mistakes you've made, what errors you had in your life. He abides. Somebody say, he abides with me. We used to sing a song. This is an old-timey song. You young people won't know this song. It says, he walks with me. All those people are talking. Those are old saints. Those are people that have been in church a long time. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me that I am his own. He abides inside of us. I'm giving God the praise today that he lives inside of my heart. He lives in my soul. He lives in my spirit. He is alive and well. Somebody say he's alive and well. He abides in us. When you accept Jesus, he comes and takes residency in you. And guess what? He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Some of y'all think Jesus be checking in and checking out, moving in and moving out. And every time you do something wrong, he check out. If that's the case with the way some of y'all live, he would never move back in. Somebody here needs to know, some of you are in a backslidden mode. Some of y'all here today and you've backslid. The devil has convinced you that Jesus has forsaken you and left you. No, no, no. Jesus, when you get saved, he moves in. Now, you may have relegated him to a back closet. You may have restricted him, but he's still there. Some of you need to reestablish your fellowship with him. Amen.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. Jesus died for you knowing you would sin. You do not have to keep carrying your sins. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.